This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. All right, mark your calendars for Friday, everybody. That's when the latest inflation numbers are going to be out. We told you about the March Consumer Price Index a couple of weeks ago, up 8.5% year on year, as you surely know by now. This Friday, we get PCE, that's personal consumption expenditures, which the Federal Reserve really likes. But as we all know, everybody is watching inflation right now. There are, though, some nuances in the way that people experience inflation that the official metrics just don't capture.
So I think maybe it could be helpful to like tell a story to sort of emphasize sort of one of the reasons that I decided to study this topic and I thought it was interesting.
I'm sorry, you are?
Yeah, so my name is Jacob Borchard. So I'm a PhD candidate at UC San Diego and actually just finishing up my PhD. And so then after that, I'll be Dr. Orchard. But until then, I'm still a student.
All right. Well, then, future Dr. Orchard, please go on.
In 2011, Bill Dudley, who was the president of the New York Fed at the time, he was doing an outreach speech to a blue-collar community in New York. And the reason for the speech is people were concerned about cost of living.
Just like they are today. But unlike today,
the actual official measure of inflation wasn't that high.
Back then, some prices, food and energy, of course, were going up a lot. Other prices, not really so much. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, was up 2.7% year over year when Bill Dudley gave that speech, 8.5% today, as we all know.
And as an example of why the Fed wasn't super concerned about inflation, he gave an example of, you know, if you look at the iPad 2, which had just come out, it's the same price as the iPad 1, and it's better.
Introductory cost of an iPad 1, $499. Introductory cost of an iPad 2 a year later, $499.
You know, some prices are going down. And then someone from the audience shouted, we can't eat an iPad.
Fact check, true.
And I think this just goes to show that, you know, maybe the prices of some things aren't that important for some people. So the actual topic of my dissertation is how the price index for low-income and high-income households can systematically differ over the course of the business cycle.
In other words, where you are on the income spectrum determines your personal inflation rate.
Right now, from March 2022, so this last report that we got, compared to March 2021, the inflation rate for low-income households was running at about 9%. But for high-income households, it's much closer to the average inflation rate at 8.5%.
In other words, inflation is high for everybody, but there is a gap. And if you step back for a second and think big picture, that kind of makes sense.
The two biggest sources of inflation are energy prices and food.
That's Stephanie Seguino, professor of economics at the University of Vermont.
And for low-income families, they comprise a much larger portion of the budget. So poor families undoubtedly are hit hard.
And there is another piece of this we got to talk about, inflation and jobs. The overall inflation rate is at a 40-year high. The overall unemployment rate, 3.6%, darn near 50-year lows. But there is a huge caveat there. The Latino unemployment rate, 4.2% in March. The Black unemployment rate, 6.2%.
I want to be clear that when you ask people in a survey, do they care more about unemployment or inflation? They say unemployment. They would rather live with some inflation and have a job than have low inflation and no job.
Here's the thing, though. You can raise interest rates to fight inflation, which the Fed does. That slows the economy, and that usually increases unemployment.
We call it the sacrifice ratio. And the sacrifice is disproportionately paid for by people of color. That is, African Americans and Hispanics are disproportionately likely to lose their jobs.
And your job, which you can read as your wages, right? That affects what you buy, which gets reflected in those inflation numbers.
The overall CPI is meant to capture the spending patterns of a typical household. But really, nobody's the typical household.
And that gets us to this last point, how we measure inflation in this economy. Daniel Sickle is a professor at Wellesley. Also, though, he's the chair of a National Academy of Sciences committee that is studying ways to modernize the Consumer Price Index. Make it better, right? And more useful. The BLS does publish a couple of versions of the CPI already.
But there's plenty of room for improvement.
Like they could do what Jacob Orchard and other researchers, remember Jacob Orchard, the almost doctor up from the top, could do what they do using data on spending patterns to disaggregate the CPI.
A step further than that would be to develop a data system where they really could link prices of particular items to the demographic characteristics of the people buying them. That would be kind of like the Holy Grail.
Which would be super useful. In the meanwhile, though, waiting for the Holy Grail, later on this week, the Fed's favorite inflation metric, PCE, we will tell you why that is the one that they like.